This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to be starting here in just a quick minute. Just give us 1 second to make sure we're all set to go. Even though this isn't in presentation mode here? All right. I want to go ahead and get started with a few housekeeping items, just so you're aware. Hopefully, if you are on the correct webinar, this is the webinar for Adult General Education Data Collection and Reporting Changes, primarily for WIOA. And this webinar is intended for the Florida College System institutions. We had a similar call yesterday with districts. So if you are a district and you are participating in, some of the information may seem a little bit confusing because we're offering the specifics as they pertain to college data reporting. We are recording this audio portion of the webinar, and we'll have that available in case you would like a copy of the audio, or if you are aware of any colleagues who were unable to participate and would like a copy of the audio. In addition, we will be posting the final PowerPoint after the webinars are over to our website, and we'll share that information to let everyone know. I did want to let everyone know we have placed the entire call into conference mode, muting all of the lines so we don't end up with any accidental background noise or muzak from being placed on hold. We will remain on mute for the entirety of the call. We ask if you have any questions that you use the questions box in the webinar. In order to ask those questions, just please type those in as you think of those questions, and we'll be sure to address them at key points in the presentation. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started. And I wanted to start with an overview of the reporting requirements for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, WIOA. Hopefully this is not the first time you are hearing about WIOA. If this is not going to provide you a complete overview of the law, just simply going to go through the current reporting requirements we are aware of for districts and colleges who are adult ed providers. So under the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, Section 116, it establishes performance accountability measures required of all core partners. In the state of Florida, core partners are Department of Economic Opportunity, Division of Blind Services under the Florida Department of Education, Division of Voc Rehab under the Florida Department of Education, and of course, Adult Education under the Florida Department of Education. In addition, there's a good deal of the work being done by CareerSource Florida, but they are not an institution that has performance accountability measures per se. There are two major components to the requirements under WIOA. The new requirement that we have not previously been required to report with is an annual performance report. This is common to all core partners. It includes performance accountability targets for 6 key performance indicators. In addition, NRS, National Reporting System, which I'm sure many of you are already well familiar with, as that is the current mechanism for our performance reporting. As far as we know, there are no current data collection changes for NRS, but there may be some additional changes when final guidance is released. It will continue to include performance accountability targets based on measurable skills gains. As you know, that's typically reported in Table 4 if you're familiar with the NRS data tables. The new annual performance report will be required to be completed by all core partners and submitted to the appropriate federal agency. For our office, that will be the Office of Career and Technical and Adult Education, otherwise known as OCTE, in the U.S. Department of Education. There are 6 performance indicators outlined in the annual performance report: employment rate entered, employment rate retention, median earnings, credential rate, measurable skills gain, and employee effectiveness. I'm going to go through each of those in just a minute, but I wanted to just give you a quick overview of the 6 performance indicators. The Florida Department of Education will need to adopt proposed state targets for performance indicators, which will be adopted as part of our state plan. For adult education specifically, for 16-17, of those 6 performance indicators on the previous slide, the only performance indicator with a state-adopted target will be measurable skills gains. However, it is important to note that we will still be required to submit performance data for the remaining performance indicators to establish baseline performance, but will not be held accountable for 16-17 performance in relation to a target. I should note that one of the 6 performance indicators, employee effectiveness, has not yet been defined, and so we are not aware of any data collection requirements for reporting that particular performance indicator. Some additional information on the annual performance report. On a quarterly basis, we will be reporting on our progress towards meeting targets towards the CareerSource board. CareerSource is also developing a dashboard in which all core partners will be showing progress towards meeting targets for each of the performance indicators. In terms of implementation of when the new information and the new data collection needs to occur, it is the expectation that 16-17 is the first reporting year, and all agencies must begin reporting information for participants who enroll on July 1st, 2016 or later. I've given some examples here of when a student would be required to have the new data elements collected for them. If you have an NRS-eligible course date that begins June 1st to August 15th and the student enrolls June 1st, which is prior to the July 1st deadline, you would not be required to collect the data elements for this student. If you have, however, in that same course, a student who starts on July 1st, you would be required to collect the data elements for that student. And then just an example of a course that begins after July 1st, for every one of those students, you would be required to collect any new data elements. To assist, we have created an updated sample intake form, which includes all of the data elements in terms of student characteristics. That has been included in your webinar materials and will also be saved to the following location once finalized. This is our Adult Education Resources page. In addition, because of the extensive amount of new items on the sample intake form, we have developed a supplementary guidance document with additional notation and definitions that can be used in training your intake staff and in determining how to define some of the characteristics. Just a little more information on the sample intake form. Most of the items included in the background section, which is page 2 at the top, are self-reported by the student. Agencies must provide an opportunity for participants to indicate which characteristics apply. A lack of selection by participants indicates that the characteristic does not apply. For many of the data elements that we are implementing, they are only going to be required for students in NRS-eligible programs. That is a key distinction because we have several adult ed programs. So this slide shows you the 15-16 adult education programs. The ones that are highlighted in yellow are considered NRS-eligible. If you have a student who is enrolled in citizenship and only in citizenship, you would not be required to collect these new data elements. However, if you have a student who's in citizenship and ESOL, you would be because ESOL is considered an NRS-eligible program. All right. I wanted to spend a little bit of time just quickly going through the annual performance indicators. This is not going to provide a significant amount of detail on the specific calculations, but provides an overview of what they're intended to capture. So the employment rate entered indicator is the number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the second quarter after exit divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. I want to note that for any of the performance indicators where we are looking at employment data, that will be done through matching with our SETPIP office and looking at various wage data. It should be noted that for this performance indicator, beginning with 16-17, we must collect and report data for this measure to establish baseline performance, but we will not be required to adopt a state target until the 2018-19 reporting year. There's an additional employment indicator. It's employment rate retention. This is looking at number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the fourth quarter after exit, divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period, similar to employment rate entered. We will begin collecting and reporting to establish baseline, but will not have a state target until 2018-19, in which we must meet that target. Median earnings is all exiters in a core program looking at the wage data for them and determining the midpoint between the highest and the lowest wages earned in the second quarter after exit. Similar to the previous employment rates, this is something we will be collecting and reporting to establish baseline performance, but will not be required to adopt a state target until the 18-19 reporting year. Credential rate. Total number of participants who exited and were in a secondary education program at or above ninth grade level who attained a high school diploma or equivalent. Again, this is not a performance measure where we will have a state target until 2018-19, but we will be collecting and reporting in order to establish a baseline performance. Measurable skills gain is a performance indicator that we will have a state target for. This is the number of program participants who during the program year are achieving measurable skills gains based on attainment of one of the following types of gains: literacy completion points, otherwise known as LCPs, an ABE, ESOL El Cate, an adult high school, primarily looking at ASE Low students. All right, I wanted to first start by going through and looking at changes to existing data elements in terms of Florida College System current reporting requirements. There's only one current data element that has changes to it. A change document was included in the packet that was sent out to show the specific new language being added to this particular data element. Go ahead. AGE employment status, which many of you are familiar with, we implemented in the 14-15 year for the first time. This is the employment status of a participant at the time of entry in the current term or semester. If you are already familiar with this, value E and U on this particular slide were already being collected. However, there were significant changes to the language for value E. And in addition, value S is a new data element value. There were no significant changes to values N and Z. Those remain very similar to last year. Just some notes on employment status. It is only required for adult general education NRS eligible programs. Status should be collected at the beginning of each term and semester because this is something that can change throughout the year. If a participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should reflect the first term or semester status. We did provide the format on here in which it was required. I should note that final versions of the data elements are in progress and should be complete very shortly. I would refer you to those to confirm any of the formats that are required for reporting purposes. All right, I wanted to spend the next little bit going through new data element reporting requirements for WIOA. There are quite a few new data elements that will need to be captured for students who are enrolled on July 1st or after. This is just a list new data element requirements. I'm going to go through each one individually. Please remember, if you have questions or need clarification, to use the questions function on the webinar to ask those. We'll be sure to address any of those when we are done going over all the new data element requirements. The first one I wanted to go through was the CAE level of schooling achieved. I should note that this is a replacement for an existing data element. It is defined as the highest school grade completed by a student at the time of entry, post-secondary or adult general education in the current term semester.
Do you remember the name of the replacement?
It's similar. It will have a CAE prefix to it because it will be both Perkins and AGE.
All right.
I believe the data element currently says AGE on it. That's what I'm referring to.
All right.
So it will be changed to
CAE. All right. Well, this is a new data element to replace an existing data element. It should be noted that the reason that it changed was because there were a significant amount of new reportable values. In addition, the format went from a single digit to a double digit required element. I did include a copy of the new data element draft description for this if you wanted to see all the values. We provided just a sample of some of the reportable values. We obviously did not include all of them because we didn't feel it was necessary to include every grade level and degree type. However, again, I would refer you to the webinar materials where a copy of the full data element description was included. Just some notes in terms of when this is required. This will be required for adult general education for 2016 and 17. It may be reported for CTE, but will not be required until the 2017-18 reporting year. Collection notes. For participants who are educated outside the United States or who used a different nomenclature in their home country than our grade level system, we just ask that you determine using an approximate equivalent what the highest grade level was. And the format required is machine record format, record type 1. All right, AGE X Offender is a new data element. It's defined as, at the time of entry in the current term semester, the participant has self-identified as a person who either has been subject to any stage of the criminal justice process for committing a status offense or delinquent act, or requires assistance in overcoming artificial barriers to employment resulting from a record of arrest or conviction for committing delinquent acts, such as crimes against person, crimes against property, status offenses, and other crimes. We've included the different reportable values with this particular item. We are working on some additional language in the supplementary material to assist you in identifying students who may be reported with this value based on local programs that you're working with, in addition to information collected at intake. This is only required for students enrolled in NRS-eligible programs, and the status should be collected at the beginning of each term and semester. And if you have two or more terms reported in the same reporting period, you should report the status based on the first term or semester. This is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. AGE completion date, this is a new data element. The definition of this is the date the degree, certificate, or literacy completion point was awarded to the student. We provided for you the format for reporting that particular date. Let's go to the notes. Just some notes in terms of AGE completion date. If your agency has entered a diploma type based on the GED test into your MIS system, our understanding is you would have to have sufficient documentation to do so. We just wanted to provide the sources that your agency has access to determine diploma date based on the GED test. If you have access to the GED Manager for Adult Educators, otherwise known as GED TS Access to Student Records, for students who authorize the release to the agency, the system will provide a date. Or with a signed release from the student, many agencies have access to the Florida Records site, which provides the date. In addition, if the student provides a state of Florida high school diploma or official GED transcript as proof of diploma status, both of those documents will also provide a date that can be used to complete this field. I should also note that we will be also, as we have in the past, using a match process here after we receive the data to identify any additional GED diplomas through matching with the GED data as well. Just in terms of notes, this field is required for adult general education NRS eligible programs, and it is reported on the machine record format, record type 5. All right, the next one is AGE employment barrier. This is defined as the participant perceives him or herself as possessing attitudes, beliefs, customs, or practices that influence a way of thinking, acting, or working that may serve as a hindrance to employment. These are the reportable values. It should be noted that if a student does not identify this on their intake process, they are in an NRS eligible, they would be reported with an N. Any student not enrolled in an NRS eligible program should be reported with a value of Z. This is only required to be collected for NRS eligible enrollments. And if you collect the status at the beginning of each term of semester and you're reporting two or more terms in a reporting period, status should be reported for the first term or semester. This is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. AGE homeless runaway data element. This is defined as at the time of entry in the current term semester, a participant lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. In addition to identifying students with this data element, we will also be identifying participants using fee status codes. This slide and the next slide provide the various identifications for homeless runaway reporting values. On the second slide, I'm going to point out value of D, participant is under 18 years of age and absents him or herself from a home or place of legal residence without the permission of his or her family. This is the data element used to identify runaway youth. We did not include this item on the sample intake form. We believe that it would be best to leave this to local agency discretion on identifying program participation or locally defined procedures to identify these students. We would not recommend it be collected on intake because of the sensitive population that you are potentially dealing with. This is only required to be collected for students enrolled in NRS eligible programs. Like all of the other data elements, status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester. And if a participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should be for the first term or semester. This is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. AGE migrant seasonal farm worker is a new data element. This is identified as a person who is a migrant or seasonal farm worker at the time of entry in the current term or semester. There are two reportable values for the students who are identified as migrant or seasonal farm worker, values A and B. If a student does not identify themselves with one of those two values on intake, then they should be, and they are in an NRS eligible program, they should be reported with a value of N. Any participant who's not enrolled in an NRS eligible program should be reported with a value of Z. Very similar to the other data elements, it's only required to be collected for NRS eligible participants. Status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester. And it's reported on the machine record format, record type 1. Displaced homemaker, this is a new data element. If you are familiar with Perkins, we do include displaced homemaker as a subpopulation on Perkins as well, but this is whether or not a participant was a displaced homemaker at the time of entry in the current term or semester. There are multiple definitions of a displaced homemaker. Go ahead to the next one. Go ahead to the last there I wanted to point out. Just in terms of some notes, this is required to be reported and collected for adult general education students for 2016-17 and may be reported in 16-17 for CTE, but will be required to be reported for CTE by 2017-18. I did want to include the values. The reason that we have the data element we do is because federal language for Perkins differs in defining displaced homemaker from WIOA, and so we needed to be sure that we could identify who is a displaced homemaker based on the Perkins definition and who is a displaced homemaker based on WIOA. So we included the data elements that would identify a student for Perkins purposes as well as for adult education purposes. We just simply ask that you identify any of the values that that may apply, and then we will determine which cohorts to pull the students into. Status should be collected at the beginning of each term semester if a participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period. Status reported should be for the first term semester. This is reported on the machine record format, record type 1. Another new data element, CAE single parent. This is a participant who is a single parent and or single pregnant woman at the time of entry in the current term or semester. There are three reportable values for students in this data element. Go ahead. Very similar to displaced homemaker, this is also collected and reported for Perkins as well as for WIOA slash NRS. It should be noted that for adult general education, this will be required for 2016-17 reporting. For 2017-18, you must begin reporting CTE as well. Status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester. And this is on the machine record format, record type 1. AGE withdrawal reasons. This is a reason for a participant's withdrawal from adult general education. There are multiple values for a withdrawal reason. I would encourage you to take some time to look at the individual reasons. I should note, go to the next slide. If a student withdraws for a reason other than those listed and they are in an NRS eligible program, they would be reported with value of G. If they are in an NRS eligible program and they're still enrolled, they would be reported with a value of N. Go to the next. I've included these as notes in this PowerPoint presentation, so just to reiterate, a withdrawal reason should only be reported for participants who have exited adult general education in your agency. I need a R there. If a participant has exited a particular course or program but continues to receive instruction in another AGE program or course that's NRS eligible, participant is considered to be still enrolled, so they should be reported with a value of N. This is they have exited from adult education entirely. Information reported with this data element will be used to determine eligibility for inclusion in NRS calculations. Agencies that know a participant has exited but do not know the specific reason should use value N. They should use value G. Thank you. I thought I updated it, but I guess I only updated in the district one. Just in terms of reporting notes, this is required for, that's not correct, it should only be required for adult general education NRS eligible. Just to clarify, this should only be required for adult general education NRS eligible. Please disregard the career and technical education on that particular item. This is collected on machine record format, record type 4 program. AGE course entry date is another new data element. This is the date the participant began enrollment in the AGE course. We've provided the format, which you will be reporting the specific date to us. This will be required for students enrolled in NRS-eligible adult education programs. Should be noted that this should reflect the actual date the student entered into the course and started receiving instruction. If there is a difference between the course start date and the student start date, it should reflect the student start date, when they actually started receiving instruction. This is required on the machine record format, record type 6. And to go with course entry date, we have course exit date. This is the date the participant exited the AGE course. The reporting value is very similar, is similar to course entry date. And it is required for NRS eligible program enrollment. This should reflect the date a student exited from the course if different from the date the course ended. So if a student withdrew prior to the course ending, it should reflect the date that they actually withdrew from the course. This is reported on the machine record format, record type 6. All right, we're going to pause and we're going to go ahead and start answering some of the questions that have come in. We only have a few more slides left, so if you have any questions that you were holding off on asking, please take the opportunity to type those into the questions dialog box so we can be sure to address them before we conclude this PowerPoint or this presentation. So I'm going to go ahead and start with...
Is there any way we can see the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me turn them off.
Give us 1 second so that we can make sure we can actually see the questions ourselves, but... Please take this opportunity, if you have any questions, to ask those at this time. I need to see those. So we received a request, a question about how to get access to the Florida Records site for checking of the GEDs. You need to follow up with our GED office and ask that question. If you need the contact information for that office, my contact information is at the end of this PowerPoint. You're certainly welcome to email or call me, and I'll be happy to provide that information for you. We received a question asking if we could give an example of an employment barrier. A potential example of an employment barrier could be potentially somebody who maybe has tattoos in various places that may prevent them from being able to enter into certain professions because of those tattoos and the location or design of the particular tattoos. That is just one example. It really is up to local agencies to sort of determine how they want to identify what would be a potential employment barrier or come up with a, well, Yeah, I would really allow the students, I would just provide the language for the students and let the students determine if they meet that definition, to be honest with you. We received another question of, when will the intake form be finalized? We are working very quickly to get all of that done. We hope to have that done very shortly. As soon as we have the final version of the sample intake form complete, we will post that onto the website and send out an announcement letting everybody know that the sample intake form has been finalized. We wanted to make sure that we listened to any questions that came up during the various webinars. as well as waited till the finalization of the data elements themselves from our office, our Bureau of CCTC MIS, Community College Technical Center, MIS, to make sure we've addressed any of the reporting questions. So right now, I don't have any additional questions, so I'm going to go ahead and continue, but this is your opportunity if you have questions. We only have a few more slides left to go over. So if you have any questions, I would encourage you to use the question function on the webinar to ask those. We will not be opening up the webinar to audio questions, so all questions should come in through the question function of the webinar itself. So if you feel like that you need more information on all these reporting requirements, well, the good thing is that we have several data reporting workshops we will be doing coming up in April and May. If you participated in one of these last year, they are going to be very similar in nature. We will be doing two-day workshops, with day one being entirely adult general education data reporting, followed by day two, CTE data reporting. The intent of these workshops is to cover best practices of data collection, reporting, and local level review. I did include the link to a registration information page that we have that has much more detailed information on how to register, the specific locations, times, as well as a more detailed agenda. We did include a workshop overview in this PowerPoint presentation. As you can see, the workshops are scheduled to begin at 8:30 to 4:30. It is a full-day workshop, and we do keep the size of the workshops relatively small to enable people to interact, work on a lot of different activities, and have a chance to ask as many questions as possible. Here are the specific dates for the data reporting workshops. The first adult education workshop will be April 25th in Leon County. The second will be May 5th in Marion County. The last one will be May 23rd in Broward County. Those are the only three that we have currently scheduled. So if you would like to attend any of those, I would encourage you to register for those as soon as possible so we can ensure that you have an opportunity to attend one of those three. In addition, if you are not already familiar with this, there is a work group for the MIS staff, MISAP4 WEDAC meetings. They happen 2 to 3 times a year. The Florida College System Management Information System Advisory, I can't read it.
Task Force.
Thank you, Task Force, is the group that would be pertaining to all matters dealing with Florida College System data reporting. The next meeting is scheduled here, almost a month out, April 13th to 14th in Tallahassee. It should be noted that registration is required to attend these meetings, and that registration will close tomorrow, or in 2 days, Friday, March 11th. To get more information on the meeting details, or if you want to get a sense of what they cover, you can go and look at previous agendas and meeting materials. We've provided the link to the page that includes information on these different meetings. These meetings are not just for MIS staff. There is some benefit for program staff as well, who work very closely with their MIS unit, but they are very technical in nature. I will forewarn you of that. Go ahead. All right, we're going to provide one last opportunity. If you have any questions that you have not already gotten a chance to ask, this is your chance to please type those in so that we can be sure to address those. I did want to go back to the barriers to employment. Our program office provided some additional examples of barriers to employment, and that could include having really low basic skills, being low income, having limited transportation, or needing childcare. Again, when we release the supplementary guidance, we'll try to provide some additional notation in there about some examples of barriers to employment. All right. We've received a question to clarify.
3028 is a mistake.
Okay.
That was what was presented on Friday.
Okay. So there was, there have been updates between, there was a call with the college reports coordinators last Friday to go through the preliminary draft data element descriptions. We received a question wanting to clarify what's the difference between data element 2021 program, AGE withdrawal reason, and one of the items that was presented at that call. I've been informed that data element 3028, which is AGE withdrawal reason.
Yes, that was.
That was presented on Friday.
That was presented on Friday as a course data element. We've moved that to the program data element based on the discussion at last Friday's conference call.
Thank you. In turn, we've been asked to clarify on student exit date, whether it's the day the student withdrew or the last day the student attended, if it was before the end of the class. It should reflect the last day they received instruction in the class, is what that should do.
Can you, on the PowerPoint, go to the next slide to show the contact information?
So we're still here to take questions. If you have any, please type those in the last couple of minutes that we have. This is the last call for any additional questions. I did want to point out, if you hang up from the webinar and suddenly think of a question you didn't have an opportunity to ask, you are welcome to contact any of us. I provided our contact information. Myself and Colin and Paul are certainly happy to address any of the programmatic questions when it comes to the data reporting. If you have questions about the specific record format types required for it, and any of the clarification on technical aspects of reporting it, I would direct you to contact Chris Bice in the college's office. I've also provided his contact information as well. All right, we're going to do one last check to see if we have any additional questions. Just a reminder, we will also be holding a similar call this afternoon. If you participated in this morning's, you are not required. It's going to be the same information covered for this afternoon. We will be doing that from 2 to 4. If you participated but feel like you have a colleague who should have participated, they're certainly welcome to still register for that call this afternoon. In addition, we will have a copy of the audio file from this webinar available, as well as the afternoon webinar, and we will post the final PowerPoints on our website and let everybody know once that is done as well. All right. Seeing no more questions, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, especially if you had spring break and gave up a little bit of your time to participate. We do appreciate that, and if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Thank you.